Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, it is that time again. Yes, the end of a year. An eventful, very sad one in so many places, obviously, around the world. But in our little spheres, mine being the theatrical one, folks are busily making their lists. And I don't mean for Santa. Which shows most resonated? Which disappointed? What's in trouble? And of course, what to look forward to. Well, when I think back on 2023, the name that first comes to mind is Stephen Sondheim. Yes, his death was about 2 years ago, but it led to so many reevaluations, repercussions, and yes, productions. Would they have happened anyway? Possibly yes, but not like this. On Broadway, we had and still have great productions of Sweeney Todd, whose stellar cast is changing in a few months. Merrily We Roll Along, the hottest show in town, won Sondheim's biggest flop in a former lifetime. We even have Here We Are, the unfinished show he was working on when he passed away. Now that one is still selling big at the Shed. And this is not only New York-based. The Pasadena Playhouse on the West Coast, that had a stellar year, largely because of its commitment to doing mostly Sondheim shows, ending with Bernadette Peters, who can forget her, and Sunday in the Park with George, in concert. It was also a year of many Jewish-themed works, and this was before war broke out once again. Tony Awards went to Leopold Stott and Parade and Sean Hayes playing Oscar Levant. We also had The Sign from Sidney Brustein's Window, the last play written by the great Lorraine Hansberry. We had The Wanderers, about two Jewish couples of different time periods. That had an impressive run at Roundabout. A similar scenario is the basis of The Prayer for the French Republic, A Prayer for the French Republic, an off-Broadway show written by Joshua Harmon, and that is moving on Broadway very soon. This is a beautifully written, very long piece about anti-Semitism, then and now, there and here. I'm not sure how many will choose to spend big bucks for an almost four-hour production, but they did for the Lehman trilogy, so it can be done. A very old play is just now returning to New York, off-Broadway. That would be Tennessee Williams' Night of the Iguana, directed by Emily Mann and starring Tim Daly, leading a surprisingly large cast. This piece is up at the Signature Theater Complex. Another one, by the way, another revival is Doubt, which is returning. And that, I can't remember where that's coming, but that is in rehearsals as we speak. And that has Tyne Daly in it. How's that? The brother and sister opening at the same time. It's a great cast. It's Tyne Daly, Liev Schreiber, and Zoe Kazan. Anyway, keep an eye on Doubt. I would like to count the playbills, but I'm pretty sure I saw 100 shows of all sizes on two coasts this past year, though mostly in New York, a dozen just in October. A few of my favorite elements as I look back, well, the best exit was Jessica Chastain's in A Doll's House. Funniest lines were Sean Hayes. In fact, Goodnight Oscar may have been my favorite show of the year. My favorite jukebox was A Beautiful Noise. Obviously, that one is only for Neil Diamond fans, but there are many of us. One man I spoke to when I returned for a second visit told me he had been there 28 times. Okay. As for shows closing shortly, we start with Some Like It Hot, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but its large ensemble and loss of its Tony-winning leading man made it just too challenging to continue on Broadway. I feel less sorry about the unapologetic Cornpone musical Shucked. This is also closing shortly. I'm keeping an eye on Harmony, Barry Manilow's take on the anti-Semitism theme, and Back to the Future, I'm keeping an eye on that. It's a mediocre production, but likely becoming a go-to as a non-Disney family show. And How to Dance in Ohio just opened, pretty nice reviews, features an all-autistic cast. Great and honorable intentions, and not so clear a forecast. Meanwhile, we continue a not-so-great run from movies to stage. Color Purple is the latest, the musical version, and earning mixed reviews. Now, Bradley Cooper's Maestro about Leonard Bernstein may be a movie first, but of course Bernstein had a major impact on theater, most notably with one called West Side Story. A new small film called Jacob the Baker is streaming on Amazon and worth your time. It's a hopeful and heartfelt piece. It's based on the millions of Jacob the Baker books that have sold around the world. Now, that one, too, featured author Noah Ben-Shea doing a version of it on stage first. Again, if you are feeling alone or slightly down, go on Amazon Prime and hear actual stories about a baker named Jacob and how he's responding to people in real need. Let's not forget Days of Wine and Roses, the movie now turned into a stage musical, opening soon at Studio 54. I continue to feel skeptical. I don't know, will tourists want to spend almost 3 hours with a pair of alcoholics, even though they do sing beautifully? And then there is The Gilded Age, an original TV limited series notable for its Broadway-studded cast. Where to begin? Christine Baranski, Michael Cerveris, Audra McDonald, Nathan Lane, Kelly O'Hara, John Douglas Thompson, Danae Benton, Sean Robert Lennon, Cynthia Nixon, Laura Benanti, Donna Murphy. Truly, who can ask for anything more? Anyway, for the, I always end or sometimes end on a theatrical community's death of the week. This week, that would be Michael Blakemore, an acclaimed stage director from Britain, the only one in Broadway history to win Tony Awards for both Best Play and Best Musical in the same season. Blakemore was nominated 7 times for Tonys, notably for his productions of Peter Nichols' A Day in the Death of Joe Egg, 1968, and Michael Frayn's Noises Off in 1983. But it was the razzle-dazzle he brought to a revival of Kiss Me, Kate, the Cole Porter musical version of Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, as well as Michael Frayn's Copenhagen, that won him the unique double whammy of Best Direction of a Musical and Best Direction of a Play in 2000. Well, I doubt we will see that happening anytime soon, really, if ever. But for now, let me say happy holidays to all and have a great new year.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.